Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. This is my heart cry day unto day. I long to know thy will and thy way. Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. Reading from God's Holy Word as we find it in Romans chapter 11, beginning at verse 9. And David said, Let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them, that their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled, that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. And if by any means I might provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them, for if the casting away of them be for the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? And if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt then say, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Let's pray that we'll understand these words, and do, as the song said, teach me to pray, that this might take place in God's working by his Holy Spirit. And if he does, I believe he will teach us to pray first. If it does come to the fullness of this, as we read their fullness, then there will be the believing in Christ and the praying as there should be. And there will be the oneness that Christ also prayed for just before he died, recorded in John chapter 17, four times praying for those who would believe on him through the word of the apostles, that they might be one, four times over, and twice given the reason, that the world will know that the Father has sent him. And when this takes place, there will be a oneness, because as God said by the pen of Jeremiah, that they will be taught from the least to the greatest, and they will not have to teach every man his brother. They will all know the Lord, taught by his Spirit and Word. Let's pray for that to the extent that we can pray, and then we might come to oneness more and more, so we will be praying more rightly for the glory of God and for the good of mankind, believers and the lost. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in his name for all that has been given, especially thy giving him, and also all the blessings that thou dost give because of him, and also the temporal blessings that we have much more than many others do. And we pray for those in suffering, especially in the war-torn lands, and the sad results and the terrible results of it for some, in hunger and homelessness, having some left their country, and many being persecuted in their country in fear. We pray for them and for thy mercy on them. Pray especially that they might be blessed in not only believing the gospel, but making the gospel known, and that those who are their enemies, their persecutors, might also come to be believers. And we know that thou canst do that. We think of those who want to persecute Daniel and his three friends. And we know that those that gave the order were brought to the fear of thee, made others to know it as well, suddenly, mightily, throughout the then known world. And we know that thou canst do the same today. We know also that thou canst leave us to ourself until judgment comes, as we read the last words here, to be cut off. And we know that we have terribly earned the wages of sin, which is death, especially the murder of the unborn, and the many other sins that we are guilty of. Thou couldst give us over to a reprobate mind, even worse, to destroy ourselves further, both us as a people and our government, when the church has become a salt that have lost its savor, only to be trodden underfoot of men. And we can see it in our homes, and we can see it throughout the land. And we pray, Father, that we might come to be awakened, awakened to truth, that we will have, as the church at Corinth, a godly sorrow and a fervent mourning, that we might come to such an awakening. And we beg of thee, Father, to give it to us by thy word and spirit, calling more laborers, and especially accompanying thy word with thy spirit, that it may not come in word only, but in power with thy Holy Spirit. And we know that what we read here, that will take place one day when we speak of the fullness of those who were Paul's kinsmen, when we speak of them as life from the dead. We pray, Father, that we may rightly understand how that will come, even though we may not know when it will come. But we do know it will come, and we believe it will come, Lord Jesus, before thy return in the last days. We pray that we might pray for that rightly and teach it rightly. We pray also again for those who are suffering in the ways of the flesh, in homelessness, in hunger, in persecution, especially the terribleness of the wars that are taking place and have taken place. We pray for the sad results on those people of that, all that it has caused in sorrow and heaviness, homelessness and pain, also the homelessness in our country of different elements in nature. And we pray, Father, for them. And again, we give thanks for the blessings that we have and pray for thy continued blessings in the days and the months ahead. As we face another season, we give thanks for the past ones and pray for what is needed for the present, and especially the spiritual in our individual lives, in our homes, in the church, because of that and through that, also once again in the nation. We ask it all and give thanks, asking also thy blessing on those in sickness that need thy healing hand, that it might be given, and other needs as well, the sorrowful, the troubled home, the children in them. We pray for thy mercy and thy grace on all of those through Christ. Amen. As we continue in this, as we said before, is a teaching that brings division. Some will not take on its face value as who the them are. As we can read in verse 12, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Who is that their fullness? Some want to think all of this is simply for the church, for Paul's kinsmen according to the flesh. But in the next verse, Paul says, I speak to you Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are of my flesh, and might save some of them. And then once again, he speaks of what has happened and what is going to happen. Yes, I don't hesitate to say what is going to happen, and also to whom it will happen. Many want to take the word Israel further in the chapter as if that is the church of our time and the church of the future. But when Paul says here, if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, quite plain, them and then the world, two different groups. What shall the receiving of them be? Them who were cast away by God, as Paul could say himself during his lifetime, when he said, see, you cast it from you, lo, we go to the Gentiles. And here it says, the casting of the way of them be. They cast it away themselves. Also, the first verse that we read, going back to the ninth verse of this chapter, David said that their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them, that their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. Some might think that's not a very good way for God to deal with them. But remember, he often has to say, their eyes they have closed. And the danger is there, that if we close our eyes, we may not be able to open them again. We have closed our eyes to God's creation. We have closed our eyes to God's holy law. Thou shalt not murder. Will they be opened again, ever? Or will judgment fall, and our eyes remain closed, never having the way from darkness to light, as God says it of the churches, brought from darkness to light? God did that for the Colossians, and he has done it for our forefathers. But where are we today? Denying God as creator. Over and over it's taught in our schools, colleges, seminaries, sadly, almost everywhere. It's a lie. The devil's lie. So when we think of this here, we have to think of the whole of the truth. We can't deny part of the truth and then say, I believe the truth. We don't. We can't believe part of what God did and say, I believe in God. We can't believe in part of what God did in giving his son and say, I don't believe in creation. Over and over, God tells us he spoke to us by his son, by whom he made the worlds. That's the son that died. The creator came into the world to live, to be refused, to go to the cross, to rise again, to save sinners. The creator. Yes, we use the word the savior, and he is. A wonderful Savior, Jesus my Lord, as the song says. but he's also a wonderful creator. He is the one. As Isaiah said, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is all of that, and much more. When Paul is talking about here, these people, both those that are his kinsmen, his brethren, and then the Gentiles, the main thing he's dealing with here, of what they're lacking, and what they're going to have later, their fullness, and life from the dead, will all be in and because of Christ, even though that's not mentioned here. It's talking about the general blessing, but the blessing comes through Christ, that which they missed and which Paul spoke of earlier. Going back to the 9th chapter, he said they had not attained to the law of righteousness. Verse 32, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone, Christ, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And that was the one that Paul prayed for in the beginning of that 9th chapter, that they would believe on him, the beginning of the 10th chapter, and that is the one that's needed all through the 11th chapter, even though that isn't continued to be mentioned particularly, but it is that which will bring the fullness. It is that which will give them life from the dead, only in Christ, who is the life. He is, as he said, the way, the truth, and the life. And we must come to see it. I read a story of a person described as a poor half-witted man. It took place way back in the 1600s. And that was probably when they preached more of the truth than we're doing today. It says that this person named Joseph, whose employment was going on errands and carrying parcels for people through the London streets, one day he heard psalm singing in the house of God. He went in, having a parcel on his shoulders of yarn. The preacher there was Dr. Kellamy. A very well-dressed audience was there, surrounding the doctor, and he read the text from Paul's letter to Timothy, 1st chapter, the 15th verse. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. From this he preached in the clearest manner, and the ancient and the apostolic gospel, the contents of that faithful saying, namely, that there is an eternal salvation for the vilest sinners, solely through the worthiness of Jesus Christ, the God that made all things. And then quoting from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, not many rich, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but by this doctrine, says the apostle, God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty. Here this young man was in that elegant congregation, and they probably listlessly heard this doctrine. But we read of this person, Joseph in rags, gazing with astonishment, never took his eyes from the preacher, but drank in with eagerness all that was said, trudging homeward, was heard thus speaking to himself, Joseph never heard this before. Christ Jesus, the God who made all things, came into the world to save sinners like Joseph. And this is true. It is a faithful saying. Not long after this, Joseph was seized and was generally very dangerously ill. And he tossed upon his bed. His constant language was, Joseph is the chief of sinners, but Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. Joseph loves him for this. His neighbors who came to see him wondered, on hearing him always dwell on this and only this. Some of them addressed him in the following manner, but what do you say of your own heart, Joseph? Is there no token for good about it? No saving change there? Have you closed with Christ by acting faith upon him? Ah, no, said Joseph. Joseph can act nothing. Joseph has nothing to say for himself but that he is the chief of sinners. Yet seeing that it is a faithful saying that Jesus, he who made all things, came into the world to save sinners, why may not Joseph, after all, be saved? One man finding out where he had heard this doctrine, on which he dwelt so uniformly and with so much delight, went and asked Dr. Calame to come and visit him. He came, but Joseph was now very weak and had not spoken for some time, and when told of the doctor's arrival, he took no notice of him. But when the doctor began to speak to him, as soon as he heard the sound of his voice, he instantly sprang up his elbows and seized him by the hands, exclaiming with his feeble voice, "Oh, sir, you are the friend of the Lord Jesus, whom I heard speak so well of him. Joseph is the chief of sinners, but is a faithful saying that Jesus Christ, the God who made all things, came into the world to save sinners, and why may not Joseph be saved? Oh, pray to that Jesus for me. Pray that he may save me. Tell him that Joseph thinks he loves him for coming into the world to save sinners." As Joseph, the doctor prayed, and when he concluded, Joseph thanked him most kindly. He then put his hand under his pillow and took out an old rag in which he had tied up 5 guineas and put them into the doctor's hand, which he had kept all the while close in his. He thus addressed him, "Joseph in his folly had this laid up to keep him in his old age, but Joseph will never see old age. Take this, divide it among the friends of the Lord Jesus, and tell them Joseph gave it to them for his sake, who came into the world to save sinners, of whom he is the chief." So saying, he reclined on his bed. His exertions and talking had been too much for him, so that he instantly died. Dr. Calame left the scene, but not without shedding tears over Joseph, who, as he told this story with much feeling, as one of the most affecting occurrences he had ever met with. I don't know if you noticed it, but 3 times this young man, who was even called half-witted, had heard not only the text that Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners," but evidently that Dr. Calame also spoke of who that Jesus Christ was, the God that made all things. As this Joseph would talk about to people, he would say, "Joseph never heard this before, Christ Jesus, the God who made all things." He repeating that story over and over. 3 times he mentioned those words, "Jesus, he who made all things." And that's what we must make known today. Do we know it like that man did? Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Who he is? He who made all things. The world doesn't know that. The schools don't teach that. That's because we in the church don't speak it like this sad young boy did, called half-witted. But he heard, and he spoke, and he told people the message of Christ, of the gospel, of himself a sinner, and Jesus Christ who made all things, save sinners, the Creator. And we must make it known, because if we don't, the world will stay in darkness. That's one of the reasons why we're there today. In the darkness, we hear of mental health, we hear of abuse, we hear of suicide, all of these things, because we are in the dark. We don't see the light of the world, who is the Lord Jesus. And that's what Paul is talking about here, and that is going to come one day to his family, to his people, those for whom he was praying, saying, "Those of my flesh, one day their fullness will come, and they also, with this boy, will know their Creator was Jesus Christ, who came, born of the Virgin Mary, lived, died, rose again, the one of whom Abraham was glad to see his day, the one of whom David said, 'I see the Lord always on my right hand,' and spoke of his resurrection in such a way that Peter could repeat it and give it part of his message on the day of Pentecost. Paul could speak of it later in Acts 13, his message beginning with Israel coming out of Egypt and leading up to David, and then the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, saying that through this man, that which the law could not give, the forgiveness of sins, is in him. This person found it. Have you found it? Have you known the need of it? Have you known that until you found it, you were lost? Lost. Christ Jesus came into the world to save and to seek that which was lost. Those people, Paul's brethren, don't know that at this time. But they are going to know it to the fullness. They're going to know it in such a way. If the casting of the way be the reconciling of the world, then what shall be the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Yes, they were cast away, and the word went to the Gentiles. But the day is going to come, as we read last week from Jeremiah, a new covenant will I make with the house of Judah and the house of Israel, both two separate groups at the time of Jeremiah. But of which Ezekiel said, after they were taken captive, and he one of the captives, that the two sticks would be made one. And they are one now in the land God promised to Abraham. But they have not yet come to Jesus Christ, who made the worlds, who came down to earth, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and humbled himself, and took on him the form of a man, and went to death the cross. And why does Paul say it? A number of reasons. To give glory to God, to give glory to Christ, but also, he said to the Philippians and to us, that he is an example to us, and we are to humble ourselves as he did. And what we need today is humbleness. Humbleness in knowing before God what sinners we are, individually, in our homes, in our churches, in our country. Yes, we, not just them, we. I hear much of what government is doing. Government is forcing this. Government is doing that. The Russians are doing this, and the Chinese are doing that. I get weary of it. But what are we doing? We've got the answer. All those things are the problem. People keep on talking about the problem, the problem, the problem. But if we don't have the answer, the problems will never be solved. Just because we know the government is a problem will not help. Why is it a problem? Because we voted them in. Our city, locally here, voted more for those who want to murder the unborn than those that do not want to do that. We're guilty. The government is what we voted for. As we grow further and further from the way of God, we're going to have more and more of that which is in darkness and far from him who is alone the light of the world, who alone is the way, God's way, the good way, the truth, the only truth in the Bible. All the news media doesn't bring us truth. The government doesn't bring us truth. Sadly, very sadly, the church doesn't either. Not enough. Doesn't it tell us the truth that what God has joined together, let not man put asunder in the home? And we could go on. But there is an answer. Jesus Christ, who made the world, is the answer for you and me. Think of the song again. Second stanza. Power in prayer, Lord, power in prayer. Here mid earth's sin and sorrow and care, men lost and dying, souls in despair, oh, give me power, power in prayer.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.